Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. Isaiah chapter 40. Thank you so much for good singing together, congregational and the special music. One of these days you'll see the choir will also bring a song, and that could be in a short time, so looking forward to that as well. Isaiah chapter 40, and all those at home, you're welcome. Please find your Bible and follow along with us as well. Our key text is verses 27 through 31. And you really got to love this picture of this eagle and mounting up on the wings of this eagle. And we'll be looking at this. There was an eagle that takes care of its eaglet. And have you ever thought about how the little eaglet learns how to fly? I'll tell you how the eaglet learns how to fly. Of course, there's a natural instinct, but they need a lot of practice. So a mother eagle will kind of nudge the eaglet out of the nest. And they have their nest high up in the trees, some of the tallest trees they can find, or in the sides of mountains even. And so they will nudge the little eaglet out and then catch, they'll kind of let the bird flutter and then catch that little eaglet. So the mama eagle swoops in and just on her back, she catches that little bird. And then she flies, kind of gently, she flies up several hundred feet. And then she turns sideways and plops him off, and he's kind of floating through the air and trying to figure out how to get these wings to move at the right time to fly. And then the mother eagle swoops down again, kind of catches that eaglet, and then goes up even higher. And then the same thing again, and then she catches the little eaglet again, and then the eagle will fly almost out of sight, almost a mile up in the sky, and drop. Instead of a few hundred feet, that bird is dropping. Now it's over 1,000 feet, and that little eaglet is starting to figure this thing out. And the mama bird will then swoop down, catch that little eaglet, and do that time and time again until she knows when that little eaglet is too tired to keep doing it. And she takes that one back to the nest, and then she gets another one, nudges it, does the same thing. The next day, the same thing again with all these little eaglets in the nest, teaching them how to fly. And what a beautiful thing that is. And that would be great to see, wouldn't it? I guess we all will go home and search that on one of your nature shows or something. That'd be great to see. But that's how the eagles would do that. It knows when it gets tired, we'll take care of it. And that's just a beautiful thing. We've talked about being renewed the last several Sundays, and the renewed vitality. We talked about the very first Sunday of the year, a zeal, having a zeal, an energy, a zest for the Lord. Then vision. We want to see ourselves and see God accurately and let that really change and affect our hearts and lives. Then last Sunday, a renewed value. And what really is important in life? How do you evaluate? What is it that you value in life? And now today, a renewed voyage. A renewed voyage. And we're on a journey, we'll find, as we look at these verses here. And no matter what problems you are facing, or how tough life is or will become, I encourage you, keep traveling with the Lord. So let's renew. Let's review and renew our travel plans, if you would. Look in verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment passed over from my God? So God sees everything, he starts out with in this verse, and he knows all the good things, all the bad things. He knows everything about us. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Several times we have the word weary and faint and faint and weary. And the Bible tells us here to wait upon the Lord to be renewed by God. There's a string of attributes given to the Lord: eternity, the omnipresence of God, the untiring strength of God, the wisdom of God. All of these are found in these verses. And the Lord does an amazing thing then by describing in the very next phrase in verse 28 that he's the one who shares these things with us. And he shares his strength. And he is not just a God on a whim. And he's not just occasionally powerful or occasionally acting in our life. But he's actively a part of our life every day and in every moment. And this is a passage describing who God is and who he should be to us. This is who the Lord is. So it's not just, he says, hast thou not known? Everything in the previous verses, all this whole chapter, all these things about the Lord, have you not known? Don't you know this? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Creator? He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't faint. And so we're on a voyage with God, a God who cares for us. And let's just back up a little bit and look at the context, if you would. Isaiah is casting a vision or a prophecy of a new exodus, if you would, from Babylon back to Israel. And this happened many years later. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah is about judgment. And he describes a whole bunch of different nations and cities and people groups that are going to be judged. Primarily, he's talking about Judah and Jerusalem. And so he has all these things that's going to happen, judgment, and then we have this turn. We turn the page, chapter 40. It's just beautiful. God's going to encourage his people. In the year 586 B.C., King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon conquered the city of Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple. He sent many of the inhabitants into exile. Later on, Babylon is conquered by the Medes and the Persians. You hear the term Cyrus, the name Cyrus, the character in history. He eventually sends the people back. Isaiah 40 is about, hey, all this judgment will come. You're going to be carried away. But here's chapter 40. I'm going to send you home. I'm going to send you home. And there'll be a turning back to the land. Look in verses 3 and 4. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So verse 3 and 4, these things happened. The people went back. They went back to Jerusalem. In the year 539 B.C., after uniting the Persians and the Medes, Cyrus sends the people back. That was about 50 years after they got there. He sends them back. And so what an amazing thing. You can look at the book of Ezra for that when that takes place. So Isaiah is casting a vision. But then when he's talking about these eagle's wings in verse 31, think with me for just a moment. Is there some context for this in the history of Israel? Is there a time when something like that took place? Well, I'd like to direct your attention to Exodus chapter 19. You can look at it. It'll be on the screen here for you. Notice what happens here in Exodus 19:4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Wow. You know, think about what was happening in the book of Exodus. Here's the people of God in a foreign land. They're in Egypt, and God says, I'm going to take you to Canaan land, the promised land, and he definitely does, and you have the 10 plagues, and then you have the Egyptians, Pharaoh, his 600 choice chariots, and all the armies of Egypt, and they're chasing down the Israelites. They get to the Red Sea. What are we going to do? Moses holds out his staff. God says, hold it out. I'll let you cross over on dry ground. And then when they cross over on dry ground, they turned around, and then the water closed on the pursuing Egyptians, and God delivered. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, the plagues, the judgment. They were all swallowed up in the depths of the Red Sea. You saw what I did in delivering you unto myself. Verse 31, is such a key verse in the book of Isaiah. Now remember, Isaiah is like a picture of the Old Testament and the New Testament, with Isaiah 53 being a very center point of the New Testament, with Jesus Christ being the one crucified for us. And so, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice that this verse is contingent upon they, not them. This is a universal truth. This verse is a reality for anyone who would be they that are waiting upon God. If you would wait upon God, you'll see God deliver you in whatever form or fashion he wants to deliver you. And he'll take you to wherever he wants you to go. He can do that if you're really waiting upon the Lord. We could say verse 31 is a universal truth for the Old Testament Jew, for the New Testament Christian. If you're waiting upon God, this is like it's almost like a proverbial statement. If you're waiting upon God, God will renew your strength. Hey, I take great encouragement with that. This is a great comfort. It's a great help to us today. So waiting on God equals strength for daily life. It equals being renewed for traveling with the Lord through this life. Now, Isaiah's original readers, those who hope in the Lord or trust in the Lord or are waiting upon the Lord, were believers who remained faithful to God. They were the ones who would be restored for his readers in captivity. Some people would have read this in captivity during that 50 or so years that they were carried away. They would probably go back and find some parchment or rehearse or recite some teaching from Isaiah and read these verses. And they would think about a national refreshing when the captives would be released and they would travel home. And they did. Verses 3 and 4 took place. They did travel home. And they traveled home on these roads that God straightened out for them, and he carried them back like eagles and walking and running and walking. So, friends, we are on a journey. We're on a journey here today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Notice these verses. I'll put them on the screen for you. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked, here's our phrase, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for something more than just this life. Consider another verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our conversation, that means our living, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're told to wait, we're waiting, but we're also traveling through this earth. We're traveling through this human experience, this time that God has given to us. And some of us have a long amount of time or a shorter amount of time. Ultimately, our lives are just like a vapor, no matter how long you traverse this earth. So we're told to wait. The word wait here means to wait for or to eagerly expect. It carries the idea of hope, the idea of trust. I'm waiting because I'm trusting that God's going to do what he says, so I can wait for that. I am hoping, a confident expectation, and I'm trusting the Lord. I'm hoping, I'm waiting upon the Lord. Now, we think of waiting as a passive thing, do we not? Modern society, we think of waiting as being very passive. We have waiting rooms where we're passing the time. Here's some 5-year-old magazines while you wait. Oh, yeah, I love to do that, right? Let's wait. And we think of it as wasting time. But really, in the Bible, waiting involves activity. There's activity. There's activity involved in our waiting. There's an activeness to it. Patience is required. And because we believe God, we act accordingly in our actions and our attitudes. So waiting is not just sitting around. Waiting for God, waiting upon the Lord is not just sitting around. So let's go to a restaurant together. You want to? Let's go to a restaurant. It's a sit-down restaurant. After we get to our chair, we take our mask off with great abandon. And we get there, and the waiter or waitress comes up and says, "What can we get for you today? Here's what we have going on the grill right now." And it's as fine dining as you want. So whatever restaurant you love, it's as good as you get, as you want. And you're sitting there, and the waiter or waitress takes your order. And you get whatever you get to drink, and you get all your order in. And then you're waiting for a little bit, and you're talking and conversing, and, you know, they have these things. I don't know why you would go and play a video game on those little screens, but, you know, you have all this stuff while you wait. But you look, you just happen to look, and there's your waiter, stretched out as if he's about to go to sleep. The waitress who took your drink order, she's just sitting there, you know, looking at her phone, clicking on stuff, texting people, doing selfies, stuff like that. And you say, wait a minute, they're waiting, right? They're waiting on us. They're waiting on us. Would you say that's a great waiter or waitress? Well, they're not doing anything. They're waiting, right? No, waiting involves activity. We use the term in different ways sometimes, but it involves activity, doing something. And your mouth is getting dry and your stomach is growling a little bit more as you wait. Well, they're not doing a good job. The same is true for us as Christians. We're waiting upon God. Waiting involves time and activity. Time and activity are both included. Now, the word renew is used. Renew means to pass on or to pass away or to pass through. It has the idea of changing. So I'm going to renew. There's like bathtub outfitters. You know, they renew your bathtub and they just put something in it. It looks brand new. It looks really good. They renew it. They change it out, right? They do something to it. They change it. It's a renewal. God changes with us. He trades with us. Here's our strength. Here's the best that we can do. And then here's my infinite power and might. Here's the best smarts that I have to offer. I mean, I've thought through this. This is the best I could come up with. I'm thinking through it. My knowledge, my wisdom. Or we could trade that for, here's the wisdom of God. This is the contrast. This is what we have offered to us. God changes or trades our strength for his. He renews us. And the word strength means strength, power, or ability. Friends, think about this. Waiting on God results in, if we wait on God, it results in trading our ability for God's ability. Exchanging our power for his power and gaining his endurance instead of our weakness and lack of endurance. That's what God offers to those who wait upon the Lord in these verses. Then, again, we've emphasized this several times in verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Even the youth could be weary. The word weary, it's the only time that particular Hebrew term is used in all of Scripture, and it's describing the best, the strongest, the most choice person that you could have, and yet they're going to wear out. They're going to tire down because of the hardness of life. That's what the term means. Life is tough. Life is difficult. And if you're traveling through life without God or apart from God, it's going to be hard for you. It'll be tough. When our strength is renewed by God, we can travel through life with fresh confidence. Now, let's examine verse 31 for just a moment longer. J. Vernon McGee, the famous radio preacher, he said this about this verse. There are 3 degrees of power here, and several expositors have likened them to 3 stages of Christian growth that you have in 1 John chapter 2. These 3 stages of growth are: the young Christian shall mount up as an eagle, the young Christian, or the adult Christian rather, shall run, and the mature Christian shall walk. So you have one flying, one running, and the older one, the more mature, would be walking. Now that could be very true. You could call it life stages of the Christian life. Children of faith, young men of faith, older men of faith. So brand new Christians right there, middle-aged Christians, and more mature older Christians. Here's 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So it could be life stages in the Christian life. One preacher was talking about another pastor down south who preached a very powerful sermon, wonderful sermon. In the sermon, he was saying this. He said, brethren, this church needs to walk. And one of the deacons said, amen, a church needs to walk. And then he continued, brethren, this church needs to run. And the deacon said, hallelujah, that's right, this church needs to run. And then the pastor said, and friends, I want you to know today that this church needs to fly. And the deacon said, amen, and hallelujah, and he put his hands up. And he was really, yeah, that's right, we need to fly. And then the pastor said, and if we're going to fly, it's going to cost something. To which the deacon replied, let it walk, brother, let it walk. If you're going to follow God, it will require some time and patience and investment. Fly, run, walk. Truly advancing will take time, effort, investment, and patience. So after 39 chapters of impending judgment, we discover God's going to take his people home. There's a great theme throughout all of Scripture. And here it is, friends. This world is not our home. Amen. Old Testament, they needed to get back to the promised land. Heaven's not the promised land, but heaven is where we're promised. And their promised land, that was the place where they had battles and struggles and sin. Folks, we're looking for a better country. We're looking to heaven, a place of no sin, no sickness, no difficulty, no problems. It's absolutely amazing. The Israelites would eventually return home. Cyrus sends them home. The temple will be rebuilt. The walls of Jerusalem erected once again. And so look in verse of chapter 40, verse 3 and 4. That happened. They went back, like we've already emphasized. But friends, verse 5 has not happened yet. Verse 5 has not happened. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all, if you want to circle that verse or that word, all, we emphasized that a few weeks ago, all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So this is future tense. Verse 5 will happen. It could happen very soon. It's still prophetic. Jesus is going to come back. It could be at any moment the trumpet sounds and the sky opens up and Christians will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture. Then Christ rise first, then we'll be caught up together, and we're looking forward to that. We'll receive new bodies, glorified bodies, bodies like the body of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And then there's the return. That's when he actually comes down and touches down on the Mount of Olives. That takes place at least 7 years after the rapture. So we're looking forward to Christ. We're looking forward to when we meet the Lord in the air. It can happen soon. Friends, we will travel home very soon. Now, we'll be flying up. First class all the way. Now, you know, there's different degrees of dedication of Christians. I was thinking about this, but truly, we all travel first class when we're walking with Jesus, running with Jesus, or flying on wings of eagles with Jesus. As we're traveling this earth, we're going to have similar hardships to what Israel encountered, what Jerusalem and Judah encountered. We'll have similar difficulties. We are living in a godless society, a globe that is spinning out of control, and we see that more and more every day and every week. Fast, moving away from God. And friends, you can try to encounter life and navigate life on your own if you want to, but you're going to be discouraged and disappointed. And yes, as Christians, as we travel through life, there'll still be difficulty, and times maybe you get down a little bit, but if you're doing it on your own, you'll have that constantly. But if you're walking with Christ, if you're flying with Jesus, if you're riding with Him, then you'll be able to manage life because you're with Christ. We cannot manage life on our own. We need renewed. We need to be with Christ and have Him with us every day. Renewed and review your travel plans today. Review and renew your travel plans. Here are three voyage musts if you want to travel well, because we're headed home. And as we navigate, let's travel well. So number one, keep moving with God. Whether you are flying, running, or walking, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep moving forward with God. Can you say don't stop with me? Don't stop. Let's try it again. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. Whichever way you're going, keep moving with the Lord. Life apart from God is too hard for us. Too many Christians have thrown in the towel. They've quit. They've given up. It's too much. It's too difficult to try to live the Christian life. And they're trying to live in their flesh. They're not living really with the Lord. And so let's keep moving. Don't stop. There are three final metaphors in this chapter. These three ones are found in verse 31. And one of them is an impossibility, a physical impossibility, a natural impossibility. The other two are natural weaknesses that naturally mankind, humanity, has. And so notice this. Can you really mount up like an eagle? Can you get on an eagle physically? Can you really do that? Nope, you're too big for a big eagle even. It's not going to work. Now, can we get weary as we run? Oh, yeah. Any of you try running this week? Yeah, we get wearied out. It's a weakness that we have. We get tired. When walking, can we grow tired of walking? Oh, yeah, I'm counting my steps. I get tired of walking eventually, right? We get there. These are weaknesses that we naturally have. So these are wonderful metaphors that all of us can identify with. At first sight, it would appear that they're in reverse order. Think about a bird. Now, eagles can just they can just start right up and go, right? Kind of slow, but they go. Turkeys fly so awkward. All right, what do they have to do? Okay, we think of it like a turkey. I need to get a walking start and then start running, and then eventually, you know, my wings will catch up, and eventually the turkey will take off. They're kind of awkward like that. We think of this. This looks like reverse order, because if you were going to take off and fly, you start to move, walk, you start to run before takeoff, and then you would fly. Airplanes do that, right? But God has it in a different order, okay? He says, this set of people, the younger ones perhaps, if it's life stage, well, they're really excited. Man, they're on fire. They're just going to start flying, and they're on these wings of an eagle. They're mounting up. They're just going. Then you have this middle-aged Christian. He's still running. He's still running. And we're going to run our race with patience. And then, you know, we slow down. If you hadn't figured it out yet, we slow down. We slow down. We start to walk. And we walk. But you know what? You're still moving. You're still moving. Whether you're flying, running, or walking, all of us, every day, we need to keep moving forward with Jesus. I like how someone described this. To pursue the common tract of daily duty is what he's speaking of. Not faltering nor growing weary, to do so when the novelty has worn off, when the elasticity of youth has vanished, when the applause of the crowd has become dim and faint. This is the greatest achievement of the Christian life, for this earthly and human strength will not avail. But God is all sufficient. Never faint or weary himself. He is able to infuse such resistless energy into the soul that waits on him, that if it mounts, it shall be on an eagle wing. If it runs, it will not be weary. If it walks, it will not faint. So how do we keep moving with God? Wait patiently on the Lord. Let's be productive while waiting. Be productive while waiting upon God. Let's patiently and persistently serve God. So every day, let's find ways to serve the Lord, to be faithful to Him. I encourage you, read the Bible. Every day, read the Bible. Open up the Bible. If you have it on your phone, read it on the Bible. Open up a physical copy. Rehearse it in your mind if you have some of it memorized. So read the Bible daily. Pray to God regularly. Every day and throughout the day, moments of the day, pray to God, talk to the Lord, engage in conversation with God. That's what prayer is, a conversation with the Lord. And meet with God's people consistently. Keep meeting. Everyone here, keep meeting. Those at home, we hope to have you come here soon. Keep meeting online. Let's keep meeting. And let's gather together. Let's get together with God's people to encourage and pray consistently. And include, ultimately, it comes down to this, include God in every day life. Include God in everyday life. So keep moving with God. This is a travel plan for us. Here's 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through, right? Strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they'll glorify God in the future as you are living that life that God wants, as a pilgrim, just passing through this life. So keep moving with God. Number two, know that God cares. Remember this. Every day, remember, God cares for us. He cares for you. This is for those who wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That they can be you, because God cares for you. God's not too big to not care for every single one of us. Make it personal for yourself today. God cares for me. God cares for you. One person wrote about the eagle. No bird is so solitary as the eagle. Eagles never fly in flocks, or at least you don't usually see them, maybe one or two at the most, but they're usually by themselves. You know, as Christians, we're never alone. You may be flying like an eagle, but you're never really alone because God's right there. He's always right there. You're not too insignificant in the vastness of this universe. No, in fact, you know, heaven is God's throne and the earth is His footstool. We've looked at the contrast of how great and big God is compared to this earth. And we think of it as big, but we're just like grasshoppers. But God cares for every single one of us. So He never leaves us. Whether we're flying, walking, or running through life, we're never alone. God is not too big to not care for us. Think about last week as we looked at the previous verses in this passage. He's not so concerned about power and power. We should not look at, well, we need power because we have the power of God in our life. Or knowledge. Oh, I just need to know more and I'm so concerned about knowing. God, I need to know more wisdom and more wisdom. That's not the most important thing. Or what about government? Oh, government's the answer. No, government's not the answer. What's the answer? It's God. God is who we need. God is who we want. God is who we need to be with. And God cares for each and every one of us. It's not power. It's not knowledge. It's not government. Those things, He's not interested in those things as much as He's interested in every singular one of us. Does He govern affairs? Yes. Is he interested in those things? Yes. He's more interested in you. Personal. He cares for you. He values you. So we can cast our burdens to the Lord when it seems like it's tough to keep flying. And I'm running, you know, and what do? There's weights the Bible talks about. We can cast those weights aside. And then I'm walking. What do? Well, He cares for us so much that we can cast our burdens. Notice 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Friends, He cares for us. So cast that burden. Pray and give whatever that concern is. And it could be so much bigger because all of life is bigger than us anyway. Give it to God. It's not bigger than Him. He He cares for you. Notice another passage, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm chapter 103, verse 5. He satisfies thy mouth. It talks about nutrients and feeding and nourishment. That's what the picture is. He satisfies. He gives us what we need so that we're renewed, so we have strength to fly, so we have strength to run, strength to walk, to be with the Lord. Now, let God renew you. Why would God want to renew us? Have you ever thought about that? Kind of like what Job cried out one time, what David, you know, cried out. Why would God even consider me? Why would God want to renew us? I'd like to direct your attention back to the first eagle mentioned in Scripture, Exodus 19:4. This is beautiful to think about. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You know why God wants to renew you? Trade his strength for yours? Ability, power, might for yours? Why does he want to do that? To bring you to himself. I think that's exceptionally beautiful and wonderful. What does God want to do? He wants to bring you to himself. Why did he carry them from Egypt, eventually getting to the promised land? Why is it that God wants us to travel through this life and wait for that trumpet to sound and then go to heaven to be with the Lord? To bring us to himself. When our strength is renewed by God, we can travel through life with a fresh confidence. He wants to bring us to himself. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Believe in the gospel today. Come to God through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, let's consider who wins. So keep moving with God. Know that God cares. Another travel plan to review and to renew is to consider who wins. They shall. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. That's for us. That's for those who are waiting upon God. The youth, they're going to faint, be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall, and he says it again, shall renew their strength and not grow weary. It's not an if. Maybe. It's not that. It's a definite. This is for certain. It's for sure. The Jews did go back home. Verse 3 and 4 happened, just like God said. The judgment happened just like God said. Friends, because all these things took place, and he said there's a future thing happening, verse 5, I'm going to come back. My glory, all flesh, all people at that time will see, everyone will see my glory be revealed. That will happen. Who wins? Jesus wins. Who's on a winning team with Jesus? We are. We win with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians will go home to heaven. Now, there could be some choppy waters, some air turbulence. There could be uneven terrain and roadblocks. And as we're running and walking, things to trip on. But we'll still make it. Consider who wins. Here's what the Bible says to us Christians in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Who wins? We win as we're traveling through life with the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So as we're traveling, remember these important truths for your daily life. Let's be renewed. Let's have that strength and energy that we need as we go through life. When I was a teenager, I don't know, maybe a senior or something, my dad, who sang a lot in church, he would sing solos a lot, sing in the choir, great voice, and he was somewhat animated in his singing. He would put all of his energy into singing. I look back and really reflect fondly of that. And my brother and I, so I'm the oldest, and my brother, us three, I don't remember if Dad stood in the middle or if it was me, and I don't even remember what part I sang, if it was bass or tenor or the lead, but we sang in church. The only time we ever sang in church, he would sing a lot, and we sang in church this song, and we had it memorized. We worked on it for a long, long time, and it was kind of like in a Southern gospel style trio, "This World Is Not My Home." And I love that. It had all the verses in it, and it was fun to sing. And I'll just sing the first verse for you here. But this is how we should look at life. We're just passing through. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Then we sped up a little bit for the chorus, and it was really fun to do. We should try it again sometime. "Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore." That's how we look at life. We're traveling with God. If you try to travel through earth waiting for the rapture and waiting for God to call you to heaven, and you try to travel without God, you'll have a lot of hard times, a lot of difficulty. Now, are we going to still have tough times that we face? Yes. But when God is with us, oh, what a change in perspective. How much better it is, because he trades the best that we have for his power, his ability, his knowledge, his wisdom, and his might. And friends, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving with God. He knows and he cares for you. And keep remembering who wins. Let's take a moment to pray and visit with the Lord. Thank you for your good attention, participation here this morning. All those online watching at home, thank you for watching. Two questions as we conclude. Christian, have you been trying to live life on your own with your own power? If you have, I challenge you right now, trade up. Trade up for the power of God. Be renewed. Be renewed. And right now you can pray, "Lord, I've been struggling. I've been looking at the disaster of this world, and I need your power. I'm making some choices and decisions. I need your wisdom. Lord, I don't want to live life alone." Now, he's always been there, but you've been going at it by yourself. Confess that to the Lord and seek his power. Be renewed today. And then friends watching at home and those right here on this church campus, you've been living life. There's some living life totally without God. You've not asked for salvation. You've not believed in the gospel. Right now in the quietness of this moment, would you pray and receive Jesus Christ? Believe, confess your sin to him, acknowledge you believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. He did the work. It's all finished. He paid the price for your sin. It's paid in full. Would you come to God through faith in Jesus? Be saved today. Let's just take some time and visit with the Lord, and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not too big, so big that you don't care for us. How small we are, and yet you love and care for each and every one of us. We thank you for this. We're amazed by this. Lord, thank you that you renew our strength. Help each one of us to rely on your power as we live for each day and through each day, as we travel through this earth. Lord, we pray that you would encourage and help each of us when it comes to waiting patiently with activity in our daily life. Let us be faithful to serve and to minister, to read our Bibles, to pray, to follow you. And whether we're flying like an eagle or running or walking. Lord, help every Christian here to keep moving forward, to don't stop, don't quit. Lord, bless now as we take these truths and apply them into our lives. We do pray that you'll bless us now as we go and travel. And Lord, thank you for being our God. We give you praise today. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being part of our church service today. Now, I encourage you, if you can, members, stay for just a few moments. We'll start our business meeting in about 3 or 4 minutes. So we're dismissed, but it'll be a short just review, and then we have choir rehearsal for a few moments following that. All right, great to see you, everyone. So take a moment and stretch, and then we'll start our meeting here in about 2 or 3 minutes.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.